السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ليجزي الذين أساءوا بما عملوا ويجزي الذين أحسنوا بالحسنى الذين يجتنبون كبائر الإثم والفواحش إلا اللمم إن ربك واسع المغفرة هو أعلم بكم إذ أنشأكم من الأرض وإذ أنتم أجنة في بطون أمهاتكم فلا تزكوا أنفسكم هو أعلم بمن اتقى صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters listening at the madrasa, over receivers, I have no intention of making tafsir of this ayat in detail, but whilst making dua, something came to mind that those of us who've got some connection with the masajid, with the madaris, with ta'lim, with tabligh, with khanqahs, with charities, with dini institutions, with dini activities, then sometimes shaitan whispers into our hearts that you have become muttaqi. And we start making loud and bold claims about our taqwa and about our piety. So my mind moved to this ayat of the Quran Sharif, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything that is in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He has got full and complete control and power over all things in the heavens and the earth. Nothing really belongs to man or to anyone else. Allah Ta'ala, out of His ihsan, has given us some kind of temporary residential permit over this land. Not permanent. People go to different countries, they get temporary residential permit. So we forget that Allah Ta'ala has also given us temporary residential permit here. And He has given us some proprietary rights to save the world from chaos. Otherwise a person will say everything belongs to Allah Ta'ala, so I can use whatever belongs to anybody else and think nothing of it. I can say, well, it belongs to Allah Ta'ala. I am Allah Ta'ala's servant, you are Allah Ta'ala's servant, so everything belongs to everyone. So we can use everybody's things. So to save the world from chaos, Allah Ta'ala gave us some kind of rights. But everything belongs to Him. But in this world also, nobody can own everything. Who can own everything? The earth and everything that it contains, who can own? How many buildings can a person own? In one town, two cities, he can own, he can buy a few gold mines. How much can he buy? He can't buy everything of the whole world. Besides the gold and silver and uranium and platinum and things which are beneath the earth, how many other things there are in this world of value? Where can a person own everything? So everything, total ownership belongs to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And then Allah Ta'ala says, لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا, so that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala may give punishment to the doers of evil for their actions. Now all this belongs to Allah Ta'ala. Now akhirat is akhirat. In the hereafter, Allah Ta'ala will punish as He wishes in the azab of Jahannam. That is, but even in this world and everything that it contains, and the heavens and everything that it contains, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا. So besides the other tafsirs, but one of the points that comes across clearly is that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has the power to give azab to the doers of evil from the very things of this world. Jo kuch is duniya mein hai. He doesn't have to wait till the akhirat, that after the person will die and he will go to, we will be on the plains of Hashar, then he will be punished in the azab of Jahannam if Allah Ta'ala sends him there. May Allah protect us all. So it doesn't mean Allah Ta'ala has to wait for that. He has created this whole universe, everything belongs to him, and he can use the very things of this world to make a person's life miserable. Because of his actions, Allah Ta'ala says, Bima amilu, those actions which he has done, evil deeds, it is because of that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give him punishment. So all this, heavens and earth, whatever it is, there belongs to Allah Ta'ala, and he can use those very things of the heavens and the earth, from the skies, where does the rain come down from? When we say heavy rain caused so much of damage, so where did the rain come from? When we say heavy hail, heavy storm, or there was so much of snow that fell, that everything came to a standstill, and the buses and the trucks and the planes and everything was covered with snow, and there was no movement, and so many people died in the snow. Now where did that snow come from? So whether it is the skies or whether it is the earth, and then we say bombs rained, from where did the bombs rain? Although they may have thrown it from the ground, shot it from the ground, but the thing is after that the plane went up and then it threw it from there. So it started coming from top. The heavens belong to Allah Ta'ala, the skies belong to Allah Ta'ala. We say it rained from the skies, thousands of bombs rained from the skies and so much of damage was done. So much of destruction took place. So who did those skies belong to? Man may have made use of it, but the thing is it came from there. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala can use these very things of this earth and of the skies to punish a person for his evil deeds and action. In other words, the person must have khawf of Allah Ta'ala in his heart. There must be this fear of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's displeasure, because of which the azab and punishment comes. Many times I have explained that Allah Ta'ala does not love one bit giving any person punishment. مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not gain anything, but He is warning us that if you are going to be disobedient, you are going to continue your life of sin and vice and evil, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala can use the very earth and the very skies to cause azab to come down upon people for their evil actions and deeds. Of course there are other tafasir. But this is something that we forget, that the very things in which we take enjoyment, those very things from which we take enjoyment and pleasure, Allah Ta'ala turns them into snakes and scorpions for us. The very things in which we were enjoying. The person was enjoying his wealth. Now that same wealth becomes a cause of his destruction. The person was enjoying himself in the casinos, discos, cinemas, theaters, rave clubs, drugs, drinks, wine, women. Those same things Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala turns them around. And now the person's life has become miserable. He has to spend millions sometimes at courts and other places because life has become miserable. Those very things which were giving him haram enjoyment. So Allah Ta'ala says, لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا. But then immediately after that Allah Ta'ala says, وَيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. And so that He may give reward to the doers of good of the very best. The very best rewards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give to the doers of good. Now these promises are not being made by ordinary human beings who have nothing in their control and power. If some king of the country has to make a promise to somebody that if you do this, then that, then I will give you so much, the person will go out of his way. He'll go the extra mile. Why? Because the promise has been made by somebody who's got some substantial amount of money with him or kingdom with him. Now here all kingdoms belong to Allah Ta'ala, and He is making the wada and the promise. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who is more truthful than Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? So now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is saying, the doers of good, He will give them the very best. And then don't look for the very best in material things. Because sometimes we make that mistake. that I am trying to do good, but materially my life does not seem to have progressed. So it's not only the material progress. Allah Ta'ala, when He says the very best, then we must understand that that very best is the very best, whatever Allah Ta'ala will give, because He is going to give sukoon in that heart. Allah Ta'ala will come with His sifat into the heart of the mu'min. There will be wus'at in that heart after that. In his little also Allah Ta'ala will give him so much of barakat, so much of peace. He will be able to do so much with that little that people with plentiful are unable to do with their plentiful. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give that. And of course He'll give the very best of the qabr, very best of the akhirat. Allah Ta'ala will give him shade under his arsh. Allah Ta'ala will cause them to cross the pul sirat like lightning. Is that also not very best? Entry into Jannat without any reckoning, is that not the very best? Entering into with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions into Jannat, is that not the very best? And in this world also sukoon in the heart, is that not the very best? So لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. Allah Ta'ala will give them the very best. So on the one hand, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will make the things of this very world the cause of his destruction and make his life restless and put him in pain and distress for those people who are disobedient. And on the other hand, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give the very best to the doers of good. Best of this world and the best of akhirah. And most of the time He gives plentiful material also. But even if it is not plentiful of the material world, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives it into the heart. So that is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is promising. And whose promise can be more better than the promise of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Who can be more truthful in his promise than Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? So why don't we have yaqeen in that promise? That for the doers of good there's the very best. Then why don't we go the extra mile? One brother was telling me, Maulana, recently I'm finding great amount of deficiency in my salat and in my ibadat, in my zikr, and I'm getting caught up with some sins and all those kind of things. So I said, then what must you do? If a person has realized that there is a weakness in the vehicle that he is driving, the battery has gone flat, the tires have punctured, the windscreen wipers are not working, and there's no oil in the engine, there's no water in the radiator, so then what will he do? By just talking about it, will the car start moving? If you keep telling everybody, will the car just start moving? You have to do something. Take it to the garage, have it repaired, put pressure in the tires, put water in the radiator, put oil in the engine, fix up the windscreen wiper, fix up everything, and then see how it moves again. But make some effort to fix it up. By just complaining all the time, some people for years and years they go on writing to their sheikh, this deficiency, but then how much of effort have you made to put that deficiency right? Wow. Nothing. No effort is made. So what is the purpose then of going on and on? It shows that the person is not interested in moving from where he is. We are like that worm that hasn't gone any further. Each and every one of us with every majlis we should check that how further have we gone. That worm which set out for that juicy grape, it was told that the juicy grape there which you have heard 120 times, Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that the worm was told that there's a juicy grape. So the worm set out for the juicy grape. But before having moved a little, it already landed on a green leaf. So the worm thought that this green leaf is the juicy grape. And it spent all its time on that green leaf, biting away at the green leaf, until its death came on that green leaf. It never had a taste of the juicy grape. So each majlis we should check that, are we like that worm, that we haven't gone further than that green leaf? We landed on the television, so if we remained like that for years and years on the television, watching the haram and the filth that comes there, even the manufacturers and even those people who produce, and even the actors, and even those scientists, they are all now talking about how much of harm it is causing. They are demanding now that the advertisements also must be banned, because it is causing destruction to the character and moral of our youth and our children. Not Muslims are complaining, those very people. And we are still saying nothing wrong, because few programs on there are okay, so what's wrong? So have we moved further than that? Or we landed on that green leaf, the music, wine, women, drugs, alcohol, rave clubs, gambling dens, cinemas, discos, backbiting, jealousy, malice, greed, all that was that juicy, that all that was that green leaf which we were enjoying. Now we didn't move any further, we didn't go for the juicy grape. So with every majlis we should check that, have we gone further, did we taste that juicy grape? When some Allah wala talks, we haven't got that characteristic in us. But when Allah walas, those whom Allah ta'ala has really given ma'rifat and haqiqat and yaqeen and muhabbat and taqwa and zuhud and qanaat and tawakkul, when they speak, then don't we get the taste in our hearts that these people have tasted the juicy grape? Then don't we like to taste the juicy grape too? But then we have to put those deficiencies right. So here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is making a promise that for the doers of good, He's going to give them the very best. So why don't we have yaqeen in that promise? This is an islahi majlis, therefore we talk about islah all the time. Because once we get our heart right, then everything will come right. Don't worry about majority and minority. That if we are going to make amal, then we will be in the minority. If I'm going to keep a beard, I'm going to wear my pants above the ankles, I'm going to make my salat 5 times a day, I'm going to stay away from the TV and the movie, I'm going to stay away from haram, then I will be from amongst the minority, because the whole family is one side, the friends are one side, the society is one side. Are bhai, forget about minority and majority. That person who brings into his life the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he is in with the majority. Because he is with Allah, he is with the angels. How many angels there are? 124,000 Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is with that party, he is with that group. 124,000 of the companions who were in Arafat, besides them there were so many others. But plus minus 124,000, 120,000 that were in Arafat, he is in that company. So how can he be in the minority? Then he is in the company of the Ahlullah, he is in the company of the Waliullahs of the world, he is in the company of the pious and the righteous, millions of them around the world. So why should he think that I will be in the minority? Our Allah is one, our Quran is one, our Nabi is one, our Qibla is one. So does that mean that now because it's one, so no, we must join something where there is plentiful, abundance. We worship one Allah. If Allah Ta'ala is with us, then the majority is with us. Kruger National Park, there are 2 teams there. One Springbok and 1 Lions. Lions are in the minority. And springboks, plentiful, thousands of them you see them there. But did any springbok try to score a goal against the lion there? Although they're in the majority, did they try to score a goal? That because we are in the majority. If you have 1,000 mice and 1 strong cat, 1 big-sized cat, or even a weak cat, and 1,000 mice, did the mice say that because we're in the majority, so now we can take over the cat? 1 meow of the cat and all the mice are gone. 1 meow is sufficient for all the mice. 1 sun comes out, and where do the stars disappear? 1 sun comes out. Has ever the sun said that I also desire to be split into 1,000 stars? The sun says, when I rise, where will you go, O you stars? You want to oppose me because you are in the majority. Where will you go when I rise? You will all disappear. So the person who is making amal, he is in that party, he is in that group. He is with the majority. Allah Ta'ala is with him. Angels are with him. Rasulullah's Tawajjuh is on him. So many things the person is getting. Why must he worry about what people are going to say? What people are going to say? How long are we going to say? One person kept a beard and he says, Log hanste hai. Log hanste hai. He says, Achcha hai, unko hansne do, taaki qiyamat ke din tumhe rona na pade. Let them laugh. Qiyamat day at least they won't have to cry. What is the sense that in this world you are also laughing, or you want them to be happy with you and you want to laugh with them, but then Qiyamat day you will cry. So let them laugh here, Qiyamat day they will cry. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is with a person. Why must he ever feel low and inferior? What I am trying to do is to raise you and myself. That don't feel inferior all the time. That we are just a small group, we are just a small group trying to do good. Why must we worry about whether we are small group or big group? The person who is doing good, so many things are with him. Allah himself, if he is with that person. Man kana lillah, kana Allahu lahu. Allah ta'ala becomes his. He becomes Allah's, Allah becomes his. Harun Rashid, to test all his servants, he had a lot of gifts displayed. And then he said, each and every one can go and take whatever gifts they want to see what kind of muhabbat they had or some occasion. So his Khadima put the hand on his shoulder. Said, why didn't you go also for the gift? Said, these people are fools. If you are mine, then all these gifts are mine. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri, jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zami meri. Oh my Allah, if you are mine, then everything is mine. If you are not mine, then nothing is mine. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is making a promise that for the doers of good, He will give them the very best. Now who are those people? Alladhina yajtanibuna kaba'ir al-ithm وَالْفَوَاحِشْ إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ. That they restrain themselves from the major sins. From the major sins they restrain themselves. And from the indecent acts and deeds, they restrain themselves. Anything that is indecent, shameless, obscene, haram, forbidden, although that's included in the major sins. But for emphasis purposes, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is mentioning that they restrain themselves. Major sins of whatever kind, they restrain themselves. Accidentally a Muslim could fall into a major sin. But then he'll make plenty of tawbah. His tawbah will also be of that level. And he'll make sure that if that major sin is huququllah, then he's fulfilling it. If it's huququl ibad, then he's fulfilling. He repays to whomsoever whatever is due. But illa lamam, the minor sins. Because he's a human being. He's a Muslim, but he's still a human being. So a Muslim can commit now and again some minor sins. But he doesn't remain persistent even on minor sins. And this is no justification for even minor sins. One person wrote to Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayhi and he said that this is a major sin or minor sin. Regarding something he asked, is this a major sin or minor sin? So he says, why are you asking? So that if I say it's a minor sin, do you want to commit the sin? Are you asking because you want to commit the sin? If I say it's minor, so then you'll commit it. Is that why you're asking? Was that the purpose for knowing minor and major? Says if a person just gives you a little bit of burning ash and says put it on your roof, a little bit of burning ash, and those roofs we know in India, they will catch fire straight away. So he says, not giving you so much fire, he's giving you just a little bit of burning ash. And say, this is minor ash, minor burning ash. Take it and put it on your roof. Will you put it there? Because you know that minor also can burn up. And it can cause major damage. That minor also can cause major damage. So in the same way, this is not a justification. Allah Ta'ala is not saying, now go on with minor sins. Because those minor sins will then become major if the person is going on and on. So he tries to restrain himself, but being a human being, sometimes he gets caught up. So then, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. Your Rabb is of extensive rahmat and forgiveness. Your Rabb, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, is of extensive forgiveness. You are a human being, you are a Muslim, accidentally you committed some sin. So now don't lose hope in that merciful Allah. He is very forgiving, He is very kind, He is very merciful. He dearly loves the forgiveness of the sins of the sinners. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ His maghfirat is very, very vast. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala Himself is saying, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ O my servants who have done injustice to their soul, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ Don't lose hope in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy. Don't despair of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's rahmat. So that is for them. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is prepared to forgive. He's opening the doors of forgiveness. He's announcing that my rahmat, my maghfirat is very, very vast. So don't lose hope. As human beings, you made some mistakes, so now don't lose hope. Now this again, this mazmoon we have heard so many times, that now make plenty of istighfar, plenty of tawbah. But then there must be some sincerity. We must commit ourselves. If a person got burnt one time, now he doesn't carry on getting burnt. He is very, very careful. Even the little child, accidental burn. After that the child makes ha. Sees the fire, makes ha. Doesn't want to go near the fire. How many times we have children, seen children, accidentally they got burned. The iron was on. The mother kept saying, don't go near the iron, it's on. Don't touch it, you'll get burnt. But the child doesn't listen. But went and placed its hand. Now it burnt. After that, while it's going near the iron also from a distance, it'll say, ha. It's going to burn. So the person who committed that sin accidentally, so now he mustn't go near that sin. From a distance he must, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ must run towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When that snake is coming with his beautiful skin, so now he mustn't say, how beautiful the skin is looking of that snake. Let it come towards me. I want to touch it. If you see a big snake with beautiful skin, and we haven't the art of charming that snake and removing the poison, what will we do? We will run from there. So the person now, if he is seeing something like that, there that's a snake, but if he's seeing some other beautiful skin coming towards him, he must run from there. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ If he knows he's going to get caught. Any sin, he must consider that to be that snake. It will bite. So run from there. Towards Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that these people, minor sins now and again can be committed by them. But that does not take them out from the doers of good. From that category, whom Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala makes great promises to, they will still remain in that category. الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ And then the point that I was going to bring across, which I said came to my mind, was huwa a'lamu bikum iz ansha'akum min al-ard wa iz antum ajinnatun fi butun ummahatikum. The gist of which and the meaning of which and the import of which is this, that when Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was created, from the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam up till your time, and from your time till qiyamah time, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows each and every one what he did in this world, what he was going to do, every action of his, not only the outside but even the inside, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is well aware of it. And not only that, that when he created, it's not only when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created the earth, وَعَلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَاءَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, not only when he took you out of the earth, that means that Adam alayhi salam was created of earth, and after that there was procreation. But when you were fetuses in the wombs of your mothers, even at that time Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had the full knowledge. So if Allah Ta'ala had the full knowledge of you from that time, If Allah Ta'ala had full knowledge of us from that time, and that is what taqdeer is, and people get so much confused, and every now and again I will get a letter or somebody saying that it's very confused, that if we are forced to do whatever we are doing, or Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is controlling everything, and Allah Ta'ala has predestined everything for us, He's recorded everything for us, so then why should we be blamed? Or how can we ever avoid that? Because it's going to happen, Allah Ta'ala has recorded it. So we have to understand the simple explanation of taqdeer is that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, His knowledge is unlimited. He has full knowledge that this person will do such and such a thing at such and such a time, such and such a place, of his own will. But because of Allah Ta'ala's knowledge, He has recorded that. He has recorded that. So that recording of the knowledge of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is what predestination is. Therefore, if it is not in that person's power, that he was not able to use his willpower, he was mad, he was insane, so then he's not going to be questioned, because there was no willpower. He had no control over himself. The person was unconscious, so he's not going to be questioned now, what is Salat? Why did you miss it at that particular time? Or the person in his dream, he gave 1,000 talaqs to his wife, or he punched somebody, or he kicked somebody, or committed zina in the dream. So he's not going to be punished for that, because it is not in his power and control. But when he's alive and fit and well and healthy and got a willpower, so he's used his willpower. Nobody forced us, dragged us, pulled us in a chain here to the masjid now. We all used our willpower. But if somebody was dragged and pulled, then we'll say he had no willpower. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala recorded. And the simple example that I always give, and now that it has come to mind, what does it cost in repeating? Because I always believe that sometimes it is for somebody who is new in the majlis, or somebody that it is worrying. That if there is a train that has left from Johannesburg, and the person has a train timetable, and the timetable states that this train will stop at Harrismith at 10 o'clock, at Ladysmith 11 o'clock, Pietermaritzburg 12 o'clock, and 2 o'clock it will arrive in Durban. Now this person from here, his family member is coming on that train. So he looks at his watch and he says, arrived at Ladysmith. Arrived at Harrismith. Then after 1 hour he says, arrived at Ladysmith. Then he says, arrived at Pietermaritzburg. And arrival just now in Durban. So is the train moving because of his knowledge? Because he has this knowledge that the train will arrive at 11 and 12 and 1. Is it moving because of his knowledge, or is it moving because that driver of the engine is moving it? So it is moving because of that steam in that engine and the driver moving that engine. It's not because of his knowledge. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, His knowledge is perfect, and He has recorded that this person on a certain date, certain place, certain time is going to do such and such a thing. So Allah Ta'ala has given him the willpower. Now he will use that steam and he will use that willpower to do that action. Allah Ta'ala has recorded that action. If not, then we will have to say the same thing for our risk and sustenance also, that Allah Ta'ala has recorded it, how much you will get, when you will get, from which store and business you will get, and who will be your customers and clients. So why go to the shop tomorrow? Relax at home. All one's life a person must relax. Don't go to any business. And he must say, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has declared his Razzaq, so therefore he has mentioned it. It's destined my risk, so why must I go and make an effort now? So we don't say that. So we have to use this willpower and do whatever has to be done. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, He knows you very well. He knows us very well. From that time He knows what we are going to do. So therefore Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Don't make these loud and bold claims of taqwa and piety in yourselves. With our little ibadat, little zikr, little tilawat, or somebody saw a good dream about us, or we saw a good dream about ourselves, then straight away now don't start putting big titles. That I am Ghaus-e-Azam and Qutub of the time and Wali of the Asr. And don't put those titles just because somebody saw some dream or somebody mentioned something good about us. Now don't start making bold claims of taqwa. I am a very great person, very pious person, very muttaqi person. Many people actually say that. Wallah, I'm a very pious person. Many, many times this has happened. Wallah, I'm telling you in the masjid. Wallah, I'm a very pious person. But this happened, that happened. And after that, if you ask one or two questions, they're committing major sins, but they're very pious. Major sins they're committing, but they're very pious. Because they look at their piety in the light of salat 5 times a day. I make my salat, so I'm very pious. They don't look at all the other sins that they are committing. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Allah ta'ala knows who is a muttaqi person, who is the most, got most taqwa. Only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows. Let us not put titles here on ourselves. Hum aise rahe ya ke waise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. Let us not give our titles. The time for test is the akhirat. When we'll pass the test, then after that it is time to smile. That incident of that woman, an example, that they were dressing up, they're putting jewelry around her neck, and they were painting her face because she was going to get married. So either they were making her look like a bride or a clown, one of the two things. But the fact is that they were doing a lot of painting, so they could be turning her into a clown. But afterwards they told her that you look very pretty and very beautiful. So she began to cry. They said, is this the time to cry? You're getting married and we are telling you you're looking very pretty, very beautiful. Why must you cry? All of you are saying I'm pretty and beautiful. But when my husband says that I like you and you are pleasing to my eyes, when he says that I'm pretty and beautiful, that will be the time to smile. If all of you say that, and my husband, because of his illicit beloved somewhere, no matter how pretty I am, but his heart is gone somewhere else, if he says I don't like you, or he finds something else that is offensive to him, so then what is the sense of taking all your praises? Ah, when Allah Ta'ala will tell us on the day of Qiyamah, my servant, I was pleased with you in the world. You restrained yourself from haram. You did everything that you had to do. You drank the blood of your evil desires. Evil desires, you drank that blood. That is one blood which is not only permissible to drink, but it is necessary to drink. The drinking of blood is haram. But the blood of one's evil desires, when the person drinks, then he gets spiritual health. And a person sometimes, due to accident, he has lost a lot of blood, then they say give him transfusion, blood transfusion, to give him some strength and some health. So he picks up again, so that he may walk again. So they ask for donation of blood to transfuse, because he doesn't have enough blood. Spiritually, when the person drinks the blood of his desires, it gives him spiritual health. Spiritual strength he gets. Evil desires will come. Wali of Allah Ta'ala will be tempted also. But the person, the difference will be that the Wali of Allah Ta'ala and the good Muslim, he will restrain himself. He will drink the blood of his evil desire. He will not break the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. He will smash to smithereens that evil desire which is coming into his heart. And then see, after that the person will get a taste of the juicy grape. Wallah, he will get a taste of that juicy grape. And the sweetness of that grape, the dictionaries of the world do not have any kind of words to describe. We just have to move a little further from that green leaf. Now how long, my brothers and my sisters, are we going to remain on that green leaf of sins? How long? Will we remain in this world forever and ever? And do we have any guarantee that death cannot come when we are indulging in that sin? So let us not put the labels of taqwa and piety on ourselves just because of our little bit of ibadat, zikr and tilawat. Our hearts still need a lot of scrubbing and brushing and cleaning. I will conclude. When I was sitting at this, on the chair of one dentist in Karachi, and he was, then after I finished, then he asked me for some nasihat. I mentioned this, I think, some time back. In any case, he said, Molna Nasihat. Nice dentist, mashallah, beard and also. So I asked him, how much of time left? He said, 3 to 4 minutes left for azan. So I said, now 3 to 4 minutes azan, what lengthy nasihat can I give? But in any case, look at that poster that you have there. Now there he had the poster of the teeth with plaque. And they say, brush all the time and clean out all the dirt. Otherwise it will form into plaque, and most of the diseases of the teeth are because of that plaque. It will eat into your roots, and then you'll get bleeding gums, and then the teeth will fall off, and so many things will happen when you, that plaque will form. And in the early stages you can brush out the dirt and your teeth, and it will clean it out. But if you leave it and the plaque forms, then there will be a drill that will be required, which will make you scream. So I said, that is giving us a bit big lesson. That accidental sin, if you committed, straight away brush it, don't let it form into plaque. Take it off. If you're going to leave it, you're not going to make sincere tawbah, you're not going to give it up, then slowly it will form into plaque. Then it will eat into the roots of iman. Sometime that sin will eat into the roots of iman. Here only the gums will bleed and the teeth will fall off. And there the iman will fall off. If the teeth fall off, you can still replace it. But if the iman goes, then what? So I say, brush it with tawbah, istighfar. And if over a period of time it is already formed into plaque, so then go to someone who uses a drill and takes it out. Some Allah wala, who will not all the time praise you and congratulate you and put you in the heavens, but who will point your weakness, your faults, your shortcomings, and will see in which way he can get rid of that plaque from your heart of sins. He said, MashaAllah, Molna, aapne to 2-4 minute mein mujhe aisi baat bata di ki ab to jab bhi main isko dekhunga, bas tum yaad aa jaoge. Maine kaha, MashaAllah, JazakumAllah, whenever you think of me, then make dua for me. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the himmat, the courage, the strength. Let us be like the lions and not be like the fox. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma rabbana zulamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. يا ارحم الراحمين يا اكرم الاكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, oh my Kareem Allah, oh my most forgiving Allah, most kind, loving, compassionate Allah. یا اللہ, قرآن مجید میں تو نے خود فرما دیا, ان ربک واسع المغفرہ. Oh my Allah, your forgiveness is extensive. Even if our sins are more than the waves of the ocean, more than the grains of sand on earth, more than the raindrops that fall from the heavens, more than your entire creation put together, ya Allah, your forgiveness is much, much more than that. Just one drop from your ocean of forgiveness is sufficient to wash away our sins. My beloved Allah, we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. Forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. My beloved Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. My beloved Allah, committing sins day and night, our hearts have become pitch black. My beloved Allah, who is there to purify our hearts besides you? Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi, tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Clean and purify our hearts of malice, of greed, of pride, of arrogance, of jealousy, of malice, of evil passions and desires. Don't test us, my beloved Allah. Don't test us in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirat. My beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and best of akhirat. Hasana fi dunya and hasana fi akhirat. Bless us with prosperity, with happiness, with contentment. Bless us with your marifat, with yaqeen, with your muhabbat. Oh my beloved Allah, give us a taste of that juicy grape, my Allah.
the juicy grape of your muhabbat, the juicy grape of the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us some taste of that grape so that we distance ourselves from sins. May Allah give us such a bond with you, such a bond with you, that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you. Ya Allah, when we stick two pages with glue, strong binding glue, then, oh my beloved Allah, if we try to separate the pages will not separate. They will tear, but they will not separate. May Allah join our hearts with you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in such a manner that our hearts will tear apart, but they will not separate from you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Bless us with your ma'rifat, with yaqeen, with tawakkul in you. Ya Allah, bless us, our parents, wives and children, brothers and sisters, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with hasanah fi dunya and hasanah fi akhirah. Ya Allah, the time of death, don't let the angel of death visit us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, adultery, fornication, or any kind of haram action. Ameen. When the time of our death comes, take us to Madinah Tayyiba. Ya Allah, at the Rosa Mubarak of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the salatu was salamu alayka ya Rasulallah on our lips, let our soul depart. Bless us with burial in Jannatul Baqi. Oh my beloved Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them cure. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove the difficulties. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who are weak, give them strength. Remove the difficulties, trials, hardships and problems of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. All the goodness that he asked for us, bless us with that goodness. Bless the entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. One announcement, brothers, inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala wills, then next week Monday we should be in Madinah Tayyibah. Inshallah. Ha, make dua Allah Ta'ala. Give us the himmat and the courage and the tawfiq to do that in the Mubarak lands which is pleasing to him and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And give us the himmat to fulfill the adab and the etiquette of this Mubarak land.